Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Host Green Diva Meg, co-host Green Diva Lisa, and sidekick Green Dude Scott share resources and ideas as they explore fun and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. And now, your host, Green Diva Meg.
All right. Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show.
Good morning, everyone.
You're on with Green Diva Meg.
And Green Diva Lisa.
And Silent Jesse waving over there.
And Green Diva's Green Dude.
Green Diva.
Green Dude Scott is home with a sore throat. Hi, Scotty. Sorry, we're missing you this morning.
Yeah, he said he couldn't even call in his Yeah. His throat was too bad. Poor guy.
Poor guy.
So.
Well, I did wake up this morning with a little bit stronger morning throat this morning, just having been up late. It is the Class of 71's reunion right now in Mountain Lakes, which is where we grew up. And I'm not from the Class of 71. My brother is. I'm just a little bit younger, but many of them didn't realize I wasn't in the class with them because they made me tag along.
Yeah, right. Well, I just want to let everybody know I'm a lot younger than that.
Yeah, she is. She's the baby sister.
I am the baby sister. Anyway, welcome to our wonderful, fun hour of Green Diva, Green Dude information and fun. Just want to mention our online media partners who are really helping us. You know, we get content from them, too, and we talk to them from time to time. We get a lot of information, and they share about the Green Divas, so we're growing our little family there. Got care2.com, eatdrinkbetter.com, earthgarage.com, ecome.com, ecoseed.org, Green Revolution Radio in Tucson, Arizona, feelgoodstyle.com, and Grateful Dread Public Radio. So, and others. We're really excited. Our Facebook page kind of has been hopping this week.
Of which you can check out, look at for the Green Divas radio show on
it's
Facebook.
It's Green Divas Radio Show, but if you go, it's just facebook.com/Green Divas.
Ta-da.
Ta-da.
And then, of course, our website, The Green Divas, T-H-E, greendivas.com.
Ta-da.
I'm sorry that we throw a lot of these websites at you. You can find all of these websites on our blog and our website, too. So don't distress with a...
Well, and one of the things we do every week, and Jesse diligently sits here and... makes sure to capture all of the links and the resources and things that we talk about. And every week we do an associated post with all that fun stuff. So you really only need to go to our website to get all the information you hear about here.
So if you're just tuning in, who are the Green Divas? The Green Divas are a couple of ladies, everyday folk here, that take all of this information that we're bombarded by and bring it down to things that we can do every day. So it's right. Low-stress ways of living a deeper shade of green is really what we're all about. So if you have information, you can send us information through our website or our Facebook, and we'll look stuff up for you. So ask us some questions.
Now, today, our Green Diva correspondent is Green Diva Sandy Holzman in New York, New York.
We've spent a lot of time in New York.
And I was going to say, really, we should be the Green Divas from New York these days because we're in there, you know, a couple times a week, and I'm feeling much more New York-centric these days. But I still love my New Jersey.
I know. We actually work very hard to – we've been trying to do our homework to find different ways of getting into the city that are greener.
Oh, God.
We've done little adventures, and so we're – we'll let you know what we actually learned because it's –
there's actually a balance between what's green and also economic. I mean, actually cost us more money to take the train in.
Yeah, a lot more, unfortunately.
Which is kind of a bummer. Well, and that shouldn't be. You know, the incentive should be for more and more people to get on those trains and buses. Anyway, our interview guest today is Philip Campbell, who's all the way from the U.K., but he's here in Austin, Texas at the South by Southwest Eco event.
I can't wait to hear about that. Of course, I live in Austin, Texas, and I'm up here in Jersey right now.
He's staying in your place.
Oh, yeah. He stayed at my house while I was out of town.
See? It's all very, very, you know, 6 degrees of separation kind of thing. And then, of course, we have our Sleeping Naked is Green segment.
Indeed.
And that ought to be interesting. We have a good topic picked out today, thanks to Vanessa Ferguson. And then Lisa has a Take Two repurposing segment.
Well, yes. It's a little bit all over the place. It's not quite as focused as usual, but I always have some fun things we can
talk
about.
Oh, I'm sure we can figure it out. And now I just want to mention to people, one of the events in New York that we're involved with, which is a lot of fun, is this Green City Challenge coming up Sunday, October 23rd. You know, it's a bike race and a kind of festival and some talks, and there'll be, you know, people there. It's sponsored by NYSERDA and a couple of other folks. We're going to talk to one of the sponsors next week, Greg Barber, who's been very instrumental in getting this event going. Greg Barber owns Eco-Friendly Printer, which is, I knew him when he was out here in New Jersey, but he's also in New York. And but he's got a lot to talk. This has been a long time coming, this event.
There's going to be some really interesting people there, eco-villages, co-housing communities, which is something I'm very
interested
in.
We're going to talk about that today, by the way.
Yay.
But it's Sunday at Union Square Park, October 23rd, Union Square Park. There's food vendors, children's activities, recycling center, all kinds of eco-fun. And there's, of course, the bicycle race, and somebody's providing bicycles, so you could just show up. You can get yourself signed up and borrow a bicycle for the race. I think that's pretty cool.
Sounds just great.
Gotta say.
How about the weather? For those of you who are in the Northeast, oh my gosh, out of all the earthquakes and torrential storms that we've had, it is gorgeous out today.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to get outside.
Yes, well, we'll be here for a little while.
And actually, it's been quite nice down in my hometown in Austin as well.
It's not frying anymore?
It's cooled off a bit. They had the best weather ever for the ACL Fest, the Austin City Limits Festival.
Cool.
Which is often brutally hot, and they had perfect weather for that after this hot summer.
Cool. Literally. Cool. Get it? So I also want to ask our listeners, we've got this PodTrack survey because we're podcasting and our podcast is syndicated, and it's this little survey, and it really is anonymous. There's no cookies or anything. You know, we're not trying to track you.
And we won't be sending you, you won't get spammed or anything from doing this.
But
we
really
would appreciate.
Really will help us understand how you're listening to the show, what we can do better, and how we can really get this thing better.
And so where can you find this survey?
That is on our website, thegreendivas.com. And if you go to the website on the right side where all the banners are, it's the second one down, you'll see it. There's a little green diva sitting there. Looks just like me.
Speaking of little green divas that look just like you, you showed up. My little sister showed up in the Daily Record on the newspaper. There's a half a page in the editorial section. And it's a new segment called Grassroots, which I'm so glad that they're finally doing. I know Megan has been encouraging them to do this for years, and they finally did it. And fortunately, they called her. There's a great. I'm so proud of my little sister. She's such a good writer.
I paid her to say that, by the way.
She didn't. And it's just, I'm so proud because we have... She works so hard, and we do all this homework, and we have all this conversation on the radio and do all of this. But really, she's a brilliant writer and very touching and very moving, and I recommend you check it out. And that's thedailyrecord.com in the Grassroots section.
Yeah,
and
I don't think it's online yet. It's not online yet. I think it'll be online next week.
So oh, okay. Well,
if you didn't get the print copy, you got to wait till next week to see.
And we'll post that as a reminder
so you can
check in on it.
It was fun. The assignment is an essay. They take people from the community that are doing green things, and the assignment was, I believe, and you write an essay. So I had fun. I, used my sense of humor to make it goofy, and I'm glad. Thank you for your kind comments. Now I think we have Green Diva Sandy. Hello, Sandy.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good morning,
good.
Sandy.
How are you?
Good. Kind of interested. I know you let me know what topics you were going to talk about, and I'm curious to hear about it. So let's tell our listeners.
Oh, well, I'm really excited about this new company I found. It's two quick topics. It's one long topic and a quick topic. If we don't get to the quick one, it'll wait. But this new company... You know, so many people want to go green. They want to do sustainability. They want to do the right thing, and they don't know how to start. The fantasy is that it's going to take research. It's going to take a huge amount of work, and they're at a loss. So there's this company called LightbulbFinder.net. You go online, if you have any product, iPhone, iPad, whatever, Android, iTouch. You go to their app and their app store, and it's free. It's a downloadable app, and what it does is all you do is plug in your zip code, and it tells you how much money you can save, and all the statistics about what you're wasting in terms of energy with your light bulbs, and how much you can save by using a different bulb. So it's all done for you. They do all the calculations. All you have to do is plug and play.
Well, and, you know, it's so confusing now. And we have this conversation every once in a while. There's all these different kinds of light bulbs. And, you know, they're talking about the CFLs have mercury and you need a hazmat suit. So what are the options? But I don't like the light color.
Well, CFL, since you brought up mercury immediately, let me bring up the mercury part. If these bulbs break, which is rare, there's less mercury in a CFL bulb than there is in 2 pounds of swordfish, which is kind of scary if you eat swordfish.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that an interesting statistic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Write that down.
It's not really a myth. There is mercury, but it's over. Its evilness is over. Reported.
Well, except that, you know, obviously they're using mercury to make these things. So they're, you know, the plants are having, you know what I mean? It should be better if we didn't have it. Now, I mean, like LEDs don't have mercury in them, do they? Do they have other evil stuff in them?
I don't know.
Yeah, see? So, I mean, it's just a little confusing and we get a lot of, and I can't keep up because like every other day I get a press release with a new light bulb, a new hybrid light bulb or, you know, I'm like, wow, I can't get. So I love this idea because this seems like it cuts through and helps you find out what you need, right?
Exactly. You know, it's not just the CFLs. There's a large selection, LEDs, incandescents, whatever. And they tell you they come in different color temperatures, soft whites, light highlights. Different levels of Kelvin, which is the basis of measurement. The key to the bulb quality is the ballast, and CFLs last a long time, so it's worth buying the higher quality ones. But this website doesn't even, the CFL also lasts 5 to 10 times longer. It uses 70% less energy. So
yeah.
The mercury issue is, it's there, but, you know, it's offset by benefits. And also, using high-use incandescent bulbs saves households an average of $120 a year, which is pretty substantial.
Well, and is that per light bulb?
It's not listed here. I think it's for all of them.
Okay. No, because I was going to say, I mean, if you have a large house with a lot, you know, a lot of light bulbs, that can be a lot more than.
That's a good question. It could be a lot more. I think maybe it is per bulb. They didn't say. So, and the other thing they do is once they figure out how much you can save, you know, the other issue is the complexity, as you brought up, you know, the confusion of the store, the time it takes to learn this, and all the misperceptions and the upfront cost of energy-efficient bulbs. Well, what they do is once you decide you want to use this, they come up with a bunch of suggestions that will work in your house or in your area based on zip code. And then you can make a decision, an informed decision based on all the statistics they put up.
Okay.
I think it's great.
Right. So
they
probably give you an idea of like, oh, here's your cost versus, you know, the lifespan of the thing, how much energy it uses, the kind of light you want, you know, all that fun stuff, right?
Precisely. And they make it easy to buy because they give you a list of the bulbs you can buy, or you can buy it through them.
Oh, well, there's always that.
Well, I want to remind listeners that it's lightbulbfinder.net, not .com. .com takes you to Bulbtown or something else, but lightbulbfinder.net.
Good, and we'll post that on our website.
And the president or the founder, one of the founders is Adam Brout. It's just easy.
Oh, I think that is.
And, you know, and the big energy companies are behind it. National Grid is behind it because it's offering energy efficiency, which everybody has to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is exactly what a green diva needs. You know what I mean? Like, I need help filtering through all this stuff. Who can figure this out?
That's what we're all here for.
Oh, Sandy, this is you come up with
it's a good one. I'm going to put it on my phone. I have an Android, and I'm going to put it on my phone.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'll have to put it on my CrackBerry. Well, Sandy, we have not we've burned out the time, but if you want to send information on the other thing you wanted to talk about, we'll put it on the website.
Excellent.
Or save it for next time, because we'll talk soon.
Great to hear from you, Sandy.
Thanks, Sandy.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right, we're going to go to a break now, and we'll be right back with lots more fun.
Good morning.
What the heck happened to you last night?
Oh, it's just my old mattress. You know, I want one of those memory foam mattresses, but they're so toxic. I really can't go there.
You have to try Essentia. They're the only company making outrageously comfortable, all-natural foam mattresses. You know, like Tempur-Pedic, but healthier.
Really? Essentia?
Really. And I hear they're giving away $300 with the purchase of any mattress if you mention the Green Divas radio show. Find a store near you at myessentia.com.
Welcome to Green Light with the original Green Diva, Megan McWilliams. Useful ideas for low-stress green living straight from the Fun Green Divas radio show.
Do you want a low-stress Green Diva kitchen? Find out how coming right up. Are you a foodie or eco-fashionista, or just curious about matters relating to sustainable food and eco-style? Important Media has some of the best blogs on the internet for practical and easy-to-use information from some of the most experienced green bloggers on the internet. Join the Green Divas on two of our favorites, eatdrinkbetter.com and feelgoodstyle.com, and learn and share more about easy green living. Find out about all the Important Media blogs at importantmedia.com. A Green Diva's kitchen is yummy, healthy, earth-friendly, and low-stress. Here are just a few ways to make your kitchen a Green Diva kitchen. Use cloth napkins. They don't take any more energy to clean. Use eco-friendly sponges and reusable cloths for cleanup. Always use food-safe, non-toxic, and biodegradable cleaning products. Minimize garbage output by composting. Even if you don't have a garden, I bet you have a neighbor or community garden that can use it. Also, reduce garbage by recycling all that crazy food packaging. When food shopping, remember your reusable bags and try to buy products with minimal or recyclable packaging.
To find out more about the Green Divas radio show and podcast, visit thegreendivas.com.
Now more from the Green Divas and the token testosterone green dude, Scott.
All right. Well, it's an all, you know, estrogen Green Diva day here. Our testosterone is sick with a bad sore throat up in Connecticut, and we miss him. But you're on with the Green Divas.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah. So just want to briefly reintroduce ourselves. I'm Green Diva Meg.
And I'm Green Diva Lisa.
And again, you can find us on Facebook and interact with us there. And that's facebook.com/Green Divas. Or just look up Green Divas Radio Show. Our website is The Green Divas. That sounds like duh. It's thegreendivas.com, T-H-E, greendivas.com. And you can follow me on Twitter, which is always entertaining, at Green Diva Meg. And you're at Green Diva Lisa, right?
I am at Green Diva Lisa.
There you go. All the different ways you can find us. Well, now it's time for...
Sleeping naked is green. At least Vanessa Farquharson, who wrote the book, thought so. Using her hilarious book, we will explore and expand on some of the 366 journal entries where she shares her year-long journey of trying new ways of being green on a daily basis. This segment is brought to you by Essentia, the only natural memory foam mattress in the world. MyEssentia.com. And of course, the Green Divas Radio Show.
All right. Another episode of Sleeping Naked is Green. And so Vanessa Farquharson, the writer, she wrote on October 13th, which caught our attention, about borrow or share before buying. And we interpreted that because that's one of the ones she didn't write a lot about, so we get to make it up.
Borrow, barter, or share, right?
Well, we've interpreted it as finding ways to share, borrow, or barter, which
yes.
is what we
added. That's right, right.
Yeah, we get to take a little bit of license there, but I think it's a great idea. And it led me to start to think about, intentional communities, co-housing, eco-villages, urban housing cooperatives, residential land trusts, student co-ops, because it's in those settings that very often they do have major sharing programs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for instance, if you're living in a eco-village, there's one, and I can't remember the name of it, how embarrassing. There's a lot of them, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But they often will have, for instance, like a shed with like three or four lawnmowers, three or four weed whackers. You know, do we all need to own one?
No, check with your neighbors. Find out who has, even if you don't live in one of these communities, shared communities, you still live in a neighborhood, and you can share tools and machinery and stuff in your neighborhood.
Well, why not? I just love the idea of finding ways to share some of these bigger pieces of equipment that probably, there's just a lot of metal and stuff, and why, do we really need to all have a lawnmower?
And that really is the way it was back in the day, as the kids say, in rural communities. If you shared your equipment, you shared your time and with your neighbors, if somebody needed to get a crop in a hurry because bad weather was coming along, then you helped each other out.
Barn raising, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I just love that idea.
Well,
cup of sugar,
I love that idea, too. And frankly, many of our listeners are baby boomers. And I recently went through a period of time where I was between jobs. And I took that time to go visit friends that I hadn't seen in a decade or so. And one of the things that came up over and over again at the dinner table was this idea of how can we get back to some of the things that we enjoyed about being sharing, communal living, which is, we did in a different way back in the 70s and 60s.
Right. Yeah, commune has kind of a negative connotation.
But really, we're of an age where we want to take the best of that quality. We need to think about how we're going to survive because things have changed so much in our lives, things that we didn't expect to change. So everyone's talking about this communal living.
I like it. I think we need to go back to it. And then there's things like FreeCycle, right? What a great idea. It is a little overwhelming. If you've never been on FreeCycle, check it out. But it can be a little like, wow, you suddenly get, 60 emails in a minute. But it's a good way to share, get rid of stuff you want to get rid of for somebody who needs it, and to find things you need.
Right. And people are willing to just give up.
There's all kinds of book sharing things. And I want to say there's a library. There's that, right?
Right.
When was the last time you went to a library? I don't know.
I go there for books on tape all the time when I travel.
But there's some cool websites called Book Crossing is one. There's Book Mooch, which is a book trading, which I think is really a lot of them are fun and innovative, and I'll list them out. And there's also community bartering, like Berkshire Bucks up in the Berkshires. And I found a website called Creating Community Bartering Systems for Dummies. I love the idea. I've always done bartering, and I think, mm-hmm. but if there are clear ways to do it, that it really,
some people are nervous about having that conversation.
Well, anyway, it's all going to be on our website. So thanks for joining us for another episode of Sleeping Naked is Green.
Well, that was fun. Remember to tune in to the Green Divas radio show next week to hear another installment of Sleeping Naked is Green, based on the book by Vanessa Farquharson. This segment was sponsored by Essentia, the outrageously comfortable natural memory foam mattress, so you can sleep green and healthy. Find out more at myessentia.com.
It always amazes me how fast 5 minutes goes.
Oh, man. We have so much to talk about.
I know. Now that we're really doing some of these time segments so that we can pull them out and make them easy for people to listen to, it's really hard to pay attention to that time.
Especially for us goyles,
We're a little more
nonlinear in our conversation, and off we go.
Yeah. And we want to be conversational. It's just hard to get it all in. So anyway, that was a fun one. And again, you can just find all the things and the things we didn't really get to in detail on our website. We'll post that all out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to segue a little bit from Sandy's conversation.
Okay.
She also, energy has just been on my mind for a while. And Sandy also posted this morning on our Facebook.
I just want to go back. It sounds like a bad country song. Energy's been all mama. I don't know. Why am I saying that out loud? I'm sorry. Did I just sing on the air? That's embarrassing.
Excuse me. Sandy had written about how, you know, and she probably would have talked about that had she had more time, because we always feel like we need more time. She talked about how up in New York last weekend, there seemed to be a huge percentage of people who are up against fracking, you know, a source of natural energy. And I...
Well, fracking is a way to extract natural gas out of the earth.
Right. But it is a terrible... It's terribly destructive. There's lots of leakage that are getting into people's water systems that they're, you know, coming out of their faucets.
There's got to be a better way.
And it uses a lot of water as well. So
yeah.
there's so many not good things about it.
Well, when you can light your water on fire, you know.
When it comes out of the faucet.
Coming out of the faucet, that's a bad sign.
And that's happening all over the country, wherever these fracking systems are.
It's big in Pennsylvania.
Very big.
New Jersey, I think that one of the things that Christie has done that I will really appreciate is that I think that he's upheld a ban on fracking in New Jersey. I think.
Right.
I could be wrong, but I think he has.
All right. We're going to have to check on that.
We'll
and
have
if
to
that's
check
the
on
case,
that.
We'll post about it on our website.
Yeah.
So,
because I don't always agree with him on some of his environmental policies, but this one I would agree with.
Yeah. Well, I read an interesting article from the Charleston Gazette this weekend. You know, I'm a little upset about the coal industry. So much of what, when we talk about changing our habits and getting, you know, less dependent on oil and all of that, so much of the electricity that we used is fired by coal. Now, coal, I've learned, is its gross external damage, the GED, is larger than the benefit we get from coal production. It's $53 billion is spent on the GED, on the damage that the coal industry, you know, between...
Okay, so the benefit of having the electricity produced by coal is outweighed by this
exactly.
gross, what is it, environmental damage?
Gross external damage, GED.
That's interesting.
It's interesting, and it's we just don't realize it. So when we think that... We think about the things that we're using in alternative energies. So much of it is still powered by the electricity that is produced
by
coal.
Like how exciting is it to have an electric car, but you got to plug it in. But we have had this conversation with John Volker, who, by the way, is coming on next week.
And maybe,
And maybe
I love John.
I know. He's our green car dude. And
I'm kind of a car person myself, so
we're
love
kind of
hearing
like
what he has to say.
Gearheads in our own way, aren't we? Yeah, we grew up that way.
Girly gearheads.
But he is with greencarreports.com. He's a senior editor, and he is all over the world, by the way, talking about this stuff. He's one of the leaders. But we've talked to him before about this topic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, so, you know, what is the footprint when you have to plug in a car and then it's burning coal? And he said it's still – they've done the mm-hmm. – and I'll have him do some of these numbers again because I don't have them off the top of my head. But he claims that unless you're in a really dirty, dirty coal-burning area. And I guess some parts of the grids in the regions of the country are dirtier burning than others, which I really wouldn't have thought about. But he said, really, the cars still, their footprint is still less, even though they're burning coal, unless you're out in, you know, I think he said Nebraska was really bad. We'll ask him about that. I'm going to be curious to hear more. But there's so many things now that rely on electricity
mm-hmm.
and the grid to help us reduce some of our oil or gas, you know.
Well, the study that I read about, there's, you know, we're not going to be able to get away from electricity, and we're not going to be able to get away from coal anytime soon.
No.
But what we do need to do, and, you know, pay attention to politics and the voting that your legislators have to do. Because what they're saying is what we have to do is abate the pollution. You know, we're not going to get rid of it. So let's produce legislation that abates the pollution produced by it. Because there are things that the coal industry can do to abate the pollution that they put out.
Well, and I think electric companies can also abate, you know, how they use the coal and burn the coal. And I think that is the difference when John Volker says that there are some regions in the country that grids are much dirtier than others.
Right.
I think it depends on how they're moderating the pollution produced.
Right.
And I don't know, you know, I don't know enough about that. And I'm actually, I think we're going to be starting to do more on energy.
Well, we have to. It's something we all use. It's something we all have to think about. And there's so much news and misleading information about where energy comes from and how it is. You know, I keep seeing all these commercials about how green natural gas is and that's the way we should be going. Well, think again.
Yeah.
We just have to figure out.
And it may be, but you got to find a way to do it that doesn't really threaten our water sources and supplies. Right?
I mean,
you know, I don't need to burn my water out of my faucet. So you posted a story.
I did. I posted a story on our website, thegreendivas.com, and there's some numbers and there's some information just to start to educate us, because really this is an election year and we're going to hear a lot about what people are doing about, you know, alternative energies and the things that we have to think about.
You know what? One of the things that I find so distressing now is there's so much BS flying around on all sides.
I know.
In this election stuff. And one of the things I have found that I love is that there's a I know it's on the web and I have it on Facebook, PolitiFact.
It's
nonpartisan.
Right.
And they take everybody to task and they post all kinds of ratings. And I love they have the Liar Liar Pants on Fire one.
That's my song.
Yeah, I know. But I think it's important when we start to talk about if these issues are important that we turn to nonpartisan sources to find out the truth, because there's a lot of skewed statistics and, frankly, some stuff's just wrong. And I've bought into it. You know, I didn't know better because there's so much. But that's what we're here for. We're trying to really disseminate, you know, some of the credible information. And it takes a lot. That's why we don't talk as much about some topics like green energy, because we're still learning about it. But what we're going to do is we're going to start having some more, and I know we have this in the works, some more experts on various aspects of green energy on to help teach us. And
yes.
Yeah, we've got some wonderful resources we're going to be tapping into.
I'm excited about that because I want to learn more about it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and then the things like biodiesel. I mean, that's confusing. Well, what's the difference between sustainable biodiesel and biodiesel? And some of it's good, some of it's bad. Then there's ethanol.
Ethanol,
yeah.
Blah.
And, you know, it all sounds good on the, you know, surface, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Hey, yeah, make energy out of corn. What's wrong with that? Well, actually, you know, a lot, apparently.
And we'll talk about that as well.
So, anyway, you want to do some repurposing fun?
Well,
I'll do
a little bit of repurposing fun. I really wanted to spend more time talking about, you know, this, what I, you know, paying attention to. I mean, I'm done talking about it for today. And this coal thing is just so on my mind, and I just want to learn more about it and share more about
it. Well, it is important because and it's so hard to be aware of everything. But it's very easy to get excited about an electric car, but then not think about the fact that the electricity is still burning. We got to start paying attention to all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy!
So we're coming up to gift season. I know it's October, but if you're going to be repurposing things and making gifts, then it might be a good idea to start thinking about things that you can do now. I heard of one thing that I thought was so clever. How many of us have had those really, really ugly television armoires? They're really ugly. And we've bought them at, you know, the big box stores or whatever. And they're just, and we're done. We've got flat TVs now, and a lot of people do. And so they want to get rid of these things. Well, I heard the coolest thing you can do with them, turn them into a puppet theater for your kids. Isn't that fabulous?
Yeah, because
you can store all your stuff. You've got that big hole. You can paint it. You can
add a little curtain, right?
Yeah, use some paint that you already have in the garage that you don't want to throw into the landfill. Use it on one of these things. Hang a little curtain and build a puppet theater for your kids.
Can I build one for me? Do I have to build one for my kids?
All right.
All right, my grandkids. I want to do Elizabethan puppet theater.
Or You must pay the rent. But I can't pay the rent. You must pay the rent. But I can't pay the rent.
You know, we could have fun. We could have fun with this. I could tell you. You know, and I was just, that is wonderful. But I was thinking about the pumpkin. You know, talk about.
Oh, well, repurposing or using.
But I just wanted to mention that you made the most fabulous pumpkin pie and pumpkin soup this week. And there's still more pumpkin stuff.
I think I mentioned
one
last
pumpkin.
Week. Well, it was a milk pumpkin. I think I mentioned it last week.
You probably did.
As the one that I used, but I hadn't used it yet. So this past week, I'm gluten and dairy free. So I really had to experiment with making a pie crust that I liked. I've tried some of the gluten-free pie crusts, not so crazy about them. But this time I took granola that was gluten-free, and I took ginger snaps that were gluten-free.
Yeah,
and
that was clever.
I pounded the heck out of them. And instead of using butter, I used
coconut
milk, the thick coconut milk that comes out of the
good fatty stuff on the top.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lisa, I'm going to assign you, and I'm going to have all our listeners pester you, if you do not post the recipe.
All right. I'm writing it on my...
Because it was delicious.
I'm writing it. Yeah, I made a pumpkin curry shiitake mushroom soup. As the soup, and then I made this pumpkin pie that was all gluten and dairy free. So the thing with me is I don't measure, so I'm going to have to.
Well, I know it's one of the things that I've learned because people keep asking me for recipes. I'm like, well, I don't know. I just toss a little butter and all, you know, whatever.
So I'm going to have to sort of figure out what I use.
We're going to do it. We're going to go on break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to Philip Campbell about South by Southwest Eco. So stay tuned.
Have you or someone you care about gone through cancer treatments recently? Chances for survival are better than ever. But to support complete healing, call Dr. Kathy Ostroff, a certified clinical nutritionist helping post-cancer patients bring their bodies back into balance. Her highly individualized programs are based on detailed blood analysis that highlight critical imbalances. Call Dr. Ostroff at 973-822-2529. That's 973-822-2529.
Now more from the Green Divas and the token testosterone green dude, Scott.
Hello, welcome back to the Green Divas radio show. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
And Green Diva Lisa.
And we're starting to wake up a little bit.
It took us a little coffee to get going here today, I gotta say.
It did. But I think we have our interview, Philip Campbell, who's down in Austin, Texas, on the line. Let's see if we can get him on the air. Philip?
Hello.
Hey.
You made it. I have to tell our listeners the excursion you've gone on to try to find a landline, because that sounds better for us.
It's been a bit crazy.
Well, let me just explain again for people who are just tuning in that Philip is calling from Austin, Texas. He's down at the South by Southwest Eco event, but he's from the UK. He's staying at Green Diva Lisa's place in Austin. But his project, the Living Ark Project, is one of the things that he's going to talk about today, along with what's going on down in Austin.
So, how are you doing today?
We're doing great. We are having fabulous weather, and of course, I haven't been home for a little while, so I want to hear quickly what's the weather like in Austin?
The weather has been fantastic the last few days, but today it's a little bit like England. It's starting to give me signs that it might actually rain.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
That's.
I don't mind rain. I'm used to rain. We do rain in the UK.
Yeah, you do, don't you?
We've had flooding rains up here in the Northeast, so it's been... it's been remarkably different.
Now, so tell us what's South by Southwest Eco is going on right now, right?
Well, it finished on Thursday. Thursday was the last day. It was
okay.
3 days.
Okay.
I flew in on Sunday, and believe you me, that flight, I had to go internal dialogue for a lot of weeks to validate flying to an Eco conference.
Exactly.
So that was a big deal for me to actually make it. I only probably fly once a year. I go to South by Southwest Interactive in March. And I wasn't going to get my Austin fix next year because of the project I managed to get. And so I came over for the first South by Southwest Eco to see what it's like. And really, really positive. Lots of people talking, some great stuff, some fantastic not-for-profits. And just some really good networking, really, to talk about the art project.
Oh, well, I'm so jealous about not being able to be
there. Yeah,
we
should definitely be there, but I'm glad you're there anyway and telling us all about it.
What surfaced there in terms of, you know, what did you come across that really stood out in terms of information?
I think for me, there was, from obviously somebody from a technology background, what really stood out to me was that people wanted to find better ways of distribution because they were doing storytelling within their nonprofits and small businesses, but they hadn't sort of the next step to how they create their sort of campaigns to get this stuff out. I'm not talking about the big players, people like Treehugger and other companies like that. I got the message that people were looking for a better way to notify people with technology. There were some great sessions, really good at really clean and, you know, not confusing and not scaremongering. It was just, you know, please take away from this stuff. And we have a lot of focused people there, and a lot of people who really focused on that information, and I hope they took away a lot from it.
I want to ask, when people were asking about distribution, were there any good solutions?
People were mainly asking me what I was doing there. People was coming up and saying, you know, you're doing the social media stuff, you're doing videos, you're doing interviews, where is that going to? So there's a whole bunch of different messages that I used to push that through. There wasn't a specific service that people were talking about. I think it was just more of, you know, we're starting to tell stories within our nonprofit, where do we put it?
Well, you know, we're going to have an ongoing conversation with you about that because, of course, it's part of what we do as well. So we'll be in touch. I want to go back to the whole scaremongering. I love the term. but it's something that we feel strongly about avoiding. And we like to take sort of the Ode Magazine approach of really sharing positive news and solutions because there is so much scaremongering out there. So I'm glad to hear that South By kind of took that approach in many ways, it sounds like.
Right.
So tell us about your Living Arc project.
Right. So for the last 5 years, I've pretty much been on the ground as a brand advocate for technology companies. So technology, computer hardware, software, the cloud, that's pretty much been my bag for X amount of time. And after doing some charity work for Nokia, in conjunction with a bunch of other people like 1,000 Heads, I found myself raising money for charities by going on events across Europe or flying place to place. So I realized that we were taking money from one part of submitting to another part of them, and yet I was part of the problem because I was flying around everywhere.
Right.
So I was like, something needs to change. So the last year and a half, I've gone from having a really fantastic job to the recession hitting, the relationship fell apart, I lost my house, got repossessed. And so what I've done is that from scratch, I've built a solid infrastructure about how I want my life to be. I have a 4-year-old daughter who's amazing. And so I decided that I was going to do something as a signature social media project, and that was the art. So the ARC is pretty much a 5.5 meter by 5 meter wooden dwelling with a green roof, and it's going to be situated in the heart of the National Forest in the UK.
Wow. I just love the story you just told of your, you know, transition and the reason you kind of got into this. It's so, right now, it's more common than ever. Not obviously, it's going on in the UK, too. And people have to get creative about reinventing our world. And maybe we're going to live with a lot less. And why not kind of enjoy it and get creative? And I mean, it sounds like you've, because everything I've read and looked at, and if people go and what is the website, just so people can go look at what you're doing?
My website for the art project is ark.me.em.
And again,
it's really short, but basically that's the site for all the information for the art.
Well, and we'll post that again, but in going through that, I really just, it looks so much fun. It looked like you and your daughter were really making the best of a situation that might have been otherwise. I mean, honestly, I didn't know all of the other background, that there was so much, you know.
Sure. Well, I think here's the thing. I think it's very important to tell. I've always been doing stories for tech companies, and I think it's very important that to find a way to get access to as many people in different parts of their lives, that this project has so many different attributes to it. So obviously, there's the attribute of teaching my daughter, who's 4 years of age, how to cultivate a garden, how we source food, you know, how we create new energy. I do not know what the world looks like in 5-10 years. It's an unknown quantity to me, but I want to prepare my daughter for that future. And the way I'm going to do that is by being in this art project for 365 days, blogging about it every single day, audio, video, text, to a greater world, so they can see what I'm doing and interacting with my daughter on a day-to-day basis. And hopefully there's some takeaway in that. You know, hopefully people start to look at being a bit more sustainable and not worrying about their luxury so much. Because I think a lot of people think that to be environmental, to be sustainable, to be eco, that it costs more money and they lose their luxury. And I'm just going to prove to them that a guy who's been in computers for 20-plus years can transition to a more sustainable lifestyle.
Well, yeah. I mean, and that's what Green Divas are all about. You know, we just we want to find easier, softer ways to do all this. And we maintain that you can do it in style and create your own style and comfort in doing it.
Right.
You want to tell us a bit about the Ark itself,
sure.
The pod?
Yeah, so I met a lady in October, or was it November 2010. And that's part of my on-the-ground work. I went to an event in London, and it was called Ethic 10. It's basically a lot of sustainable green companies who are making really awesome products in that space. And I turned the corner and there was this bottle of this art. And I went over to this lady who runs a company called Living Art. And she told me all about the details of the art, the fact that it's FSC approved wood, so it's not traveled overseas, it's come from a local forest that's, you know, cooled in a certain way. It's a 200 year building. The only thing you have to change is the roof after about 35 years. That's a reasonably easy process. Like I say, it's a 5 meter by 5.5 meter. You can have bigger sizes.
Okay, let me just stop you right there because for me, like, I don't know how to translate meters into, like, I'm just a stupid American, honest to God. I can't figure it out.
Okay, it's not big. It's not big.
And you can see a picture of it. It is so attractive.
Yeah, I know.
It is attractive. It is attractive. And the thing is with that arc, the reason why it's oval is that, you know, heat capture inside of it, just that heat just rolls around inside. There's no dead corners in terms of
brilliant
spots. It's also got a solar shower. They've got a composting toilet. It's got an argon there. Mm-hmm. I mean, where we're putting it in the National Forest, we've also got wood. Because it's a 15-year plant at the National Forest where we are, they're having to cool back a lot of the trees so that some of the oaks can breathe.
Did you just say there's hobbits in the trees?
There might as well be hobbits in the trees. I think my daughter thinks that the house is full of hobbits.
Well, it's just sometimes I love those earth structures that I know a lot of folks in England have built, the eco with the green roofs. And I always think of hobbits. I'm sorry. I can't help myself.
It's no, that's fine.
So
that's
silly.
That's exactly what I'm thinking Ella, my daughter, is going to think of when she sees it.
Yeah. When does this start? You're 30.
Yeah.
January, 360 days. So tell us a little bit about how you expect to keep warm.
Well, there is an auger, and this thing does retain heat like you would not believe. I've already been inside one of these arcs for a weekend in London. They reconstructed an orchard and called it a urban orchard in the middle of London. They literally decked out this area that was going to be used for farming.
Yeah, I saw pictures of it. It's really neat.
Great. So, yeah, they're really hot. You'd be surprised. I mean, they really retain the heat. The wall structure and everything, maybe I can send you a PDF of how the actual is constructed, but they're incredibly hot.
Excellent.
Yeah, well, we're definitely going to want to keep up with you on this. We're going to kind of have to plug in or get an RSS feed of your blogs because I'm really curious. I, you know, there's a part of me that wants to do this, really. I'm a little jealous.
Well, I hear that a lot. I hear a lot of people saying that, you know, the guy on the actual site, he's a ranger who I've known for about 3 years. He's a fantastic guy. And, you know, originally when I approached the National Forest and said I wanted to do this project, they were sort of, you know, why do you want to do this? How does it look like? Where's the information going to go? How are we using it? And there was a lot of people sort of questioning it and stuff. Now, lots of people are getting similar, but they really want to do it as well.
That's great. Are you still there?
I am.
Oh, okay. Sorry. We just had a little sound shift, and Megan and I looked at each other and thought, oh, we just lost him.
God, it went.
No.
You're really quiet there for a second. Well,
sorry about that.
Now, when do you go back to the UK?
I head back tomorrow.
Aw.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if you're living in the pod, we won't see you at South by Eco next year.
That's right. That's the reason why I'm into this one.
Wait, but can we come and visit you in the Eco? Are you receiving visitors while you're there?
We will. Yes, we will. I think it's going to be pretty much all around the clock, to be honest. Where the ARC is, the actual site gets about 200,000 visitors a year. And the reason why they are enabling this project to happen is that they want to build a whole suite of these ARCs on the site for ecotourism. So they want people to actually come there with their families and learn about environmental issues, you know, interface between each of the ARCs. So this is a bit of a pilot project for them, and they're enabling me to do my project inside their ARC.
Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing how this unfolds. Congratulations, and thank you so much for taking the time to call us while you're here.
Well, I'm so glad you could make it here before you get involved, and I know how much you like Austin.
Love it.
And please say hello to our mutual friend, Peter Tenson, of whom I'm having such a hard time calling Peter. He's been Robin to me
maybe
whole
he
life.
Didn't want that to be publicly, so you just, like, outed him.
There's no secrets here. I'm terrible, aren't I?
Well, we'll stay in touch, Philip. Thanks so much.
You're most welcome. Have a great day.
All right, you too.
Happy trails on the way home.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, it's a bummer. That was a kind of crappy connection, but we'll clean it up on the podcast a bit so it'll be easier to hear, because that was such a great interview.
I know. And, you know, he really went all over Austin this morning to try to find a good, solid landline.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, at the very least, I'm going to ask him to maybe even write us a little bit of a blog post that we can put up.
Well,
he
will have it, and we'll be able to connect everybody with his blog.
Yeah,
and he'll have video blogs as well as written blogs.
Yeah, and the stuff that's already in there. He was talking about that urban orchard that they already have in London, and I was looking at the pictures, and I thought, oh, it just makes you want to go there.
Well,
you know, where they've taken like an old parking lot and in between some old buildings, you know, and a little mews, and created this really cool, yeah.
We'll have to see what that's all about. Maybe we can
I'm still trying to figure out
there.
What 5 meters looks like. I mean, I know I saw the pod. It's not huge, but really, what is five? Is it 8 feet? I don't know. I'm such a, you know, dork.
This is where the diva comes out in us. We're not.
I know. I've never been good at spatially picturing. Like, you really have to give me a clear illustration or example. And I can think in feet for the most part, but meters.
We can't trust men to tell us what inches look like.
No, you can't. And we won't get into that. But we know where you're going with that. So anyway, listen, next week we've got John Volker, as I mentioned before, coming on.
Yay!
And I really, really want to hear from people what they want to talk about with green cars. Do they want to talk about hybrids? Do they want to talk about, you know, there are gas, natural gas fueled cars now.
Oh, are there?
There is a fuel cell being tested in California. There's, you know, electric cars. They want to talk about the Volt. I really want to know. And John... he and I were corresponding yesterday a little bit on Facebook, instant message. We're so, like, social media savvy now. But we'll probably put out, like, a little questionnaire. You know how we come up with our little surveys on Facebook?
So yeah, we did that last time. We got some good responses.
Got a lot of response. So look for that. But in the meantime, we'd love to hear what you want to hear us talk about next week in terms of green cars. What does that mean? And maybe some of it is just changing our habits on how we drive, making sure our tires are filled adequately.
I just filled mine yesterday.
See? All that fun stuff, you know, maintenance and... I don't know. It was interesting when we were going in and out of New York and really thinking about different ways and what, you know, what it means for two of us to be in a car as opposed to one of us to be in the car. And it's a big difference.
Yeah.
In my you know, wacky calculations between one person driving into New York and two of us.
Absolutely.
I mean, it actually becomes a lot more viable for two of us. Now, if we had three of us, Jesse,
be even better.
It starts to really almost make sense, especially if you have a car that's more eco-friendly.
Right.
And if you have a plug-in that then you have to offset your electricity so you're not burning as much coal, which you... Right? But you can do that now. I mean, there are companies like Viridian and other companies that help. I think in New Jersey, you can get up to 30% of your energy from renewable resources now.
There are lots of companies. You can Google renewable renewable energy.
Right. And that's without having a solar panel or a windmill on your roof. You know what I mean? Like, you can just, you know, there are people doing it and offering this to the consumer. And I also like this whole, you know, like we've talked about, one block off the grid, where you can get involved with a community group. So you don't necessarily have to have the panels on your roof.
Oops. We had a little gravity storm here in the studio.
So, you know, please find us during the week on Facebook. Go to what?
I just wanted to remind everybody to mention G2 Organics on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
We're getting close to 3,000, so we're ready to find a winner and, you know,
mention G2 and you're in, baby.
It won't be the 3,000th person. If I could talk, I would say 3,000th person. But when we get to that number, somebody will win. So
awesome. Well, listen, have a great green week. Stay tuned in between on Facebook and the webpage, and see you next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, follow them on Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget to visit the blog at thegreendivas.com. That's thegreendivas.com. And remember to share the good green news with friends and family.